This is Healthline, a joint venture of WTIC News Talk 1080 and Yale Cancer Center. Yale Cancer Center is a resource for cancer programs throughout Connecticut, developing new advances in prevention, screening, diagnosis, and treatment. On Healthline, you'll hear from some of the leading doctors in the country. Healthline is not intended to provide medical advice. Yale Cancer Center urges you to consult with a qualified physician in your community for diagnosis and for answers to your medical questions. And now, our co-hosts, oncologists Ken Miller and Ed Chu.
Good morning and welcome to Healthline. My name is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm the director of the survivorship program at the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven. I'm here in the WTAC studios with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, who is the chief adult oncologist at the Yale Cancer Center. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ken. Healthline with the Yale Cancer Center is our way of providing you with most up-to-date information on cancer care every Sunday morning here at 8:30 a.m. Healthline features some of the nation's leading oncologists and cancer specialists who are on the forefront of the battle to fight cancer right here in our state of Connecticut.
Each week, Ed and I are joined by a different expert from the Yale Cancer Center. Our goal is to give you help by sharing with you the latest information about cancer and its treatment, but we also want to give you hope. And if you'd like to submit a question about cancer to Healthline, please email us at healthline@yale.edu, or you can call 1-888-234-4YCC. We'll answer your questions on the air today or in a future broadcast. And if you're interested in listening to past editions of Healthline, or if you'd like to learn more about a specific kind of cancer, all of our shows are posted in audio and written format on the Yale Cancer Center website, which is www.yalecancercenter.org.
Today we're joined by Dr. Nita Caden-Lodick, Assistant Professor of Pediatric Oncology at the Yale School of Medicine and Director of the HEROES Clinic for Survivors of Childhood Cancers here at the Yale Cancer Center. Dr. Caden-Lodick is nationally known for her research into the side effects and risks affecting pediatric cancer survivors. Nina, thanks so much for being with us today on Healthline.
Nina, let's begin by talking a little bit about cancer survivorship. And I'm interested in, what's your definition of a cancer survivor?
Well, the Institute of Medicine would define a cancer survivor as any individual diagnosed with cancer from the point of diagnosis forward. But when we generally think of cancer survivorship, we think of studying ways to decrease the negative effects of the cancer experience on the patient, the physical and the emotional effects. And also, we could extend the cancer survivor to those who care for patients with cancer, to the family members and friends that are also affected by the cancer diagnosis.
So it's interesting, and we've obviously discussed this on previous shows with Ken and with Jeff Keith and various other folks, that there really is a much broader definition of cancer survivors. It's not quite as limited as I think we were all brought up and trained with.
I think that is true, especially since our research has shown us that there are things we can do during the cancer treatment period, as well as after the cancer treatment period, to really optimize wellness in someone who's had a history of cancer. So that is why our definition is broadened both in the time period that we call a patient a cancer survivor and also who we include in that experience.
So it's interesting from that point of view that the survivorship field, which is really how you spend your time, a great deal of your time, involves when patients are on treatment as well, to try to look at ways through research of minimizing side effects. But then also, tell us a little bit what happens after the initial phase of treatment. How is the survivorship program important for children that have been through a cancer experience?
Well, I think it is very, very important because there are measures that can be taken to prevent or minimize the effects of the cancer or the treatment. So a ready example of this is a child who has had radiation to the brain is at risk for growth problems and having short stature. So even immediately upon completion of therapy, it is good to monitor for growth hormone problems because one can replace growth hormone and keep that normal rate of growth going and do this before it's too late, because if one does wait too too long, you've missed that window of opportunity. And being aware of these things during therapy and right when therapy ends means that you're ready to act and to take measures to make the situation better during your window of opportunity.
Nina, do you see any differences in pediatric patients who, you know, survive and, you know, go through their treatments as opposed to, say, you know, I guess the types of patients that, that Ken and I see in the adult clinics who survive their respective cancers?
I do. I have found that older patients in adolescent and adulthood experience more psychosocial stress, more emotional distress, and more trauma from the experience. I find the younger children, maybe because of developmental stage or because they're sheltered by their family, do not develop as much depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress. I also think in the definition of including survivors as the whole family is particularly apropos for a child, because the whole family goes through that experience in a very direct way, including especially the siblings and parents.
You know, I'd like to get your broad perspective on, let's say, adolescents and young adults going through cancer. Are the majority getting beyond this experience and leading happy and healthy lives, or are the majority, you know, sort of left with major disabilities, major depression? I mean, what can you give us a broader view?
So the vast majority, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because mostly it's really a good news story, and it's a wellness model of care. It's not a disaster model of care. It's a strategy, a survivorship. Care is a strategy to keep people well and to have them enjoy all that they fought so much for in overcoming the cancer. And in a direct answer to your question, the majority of cancer survivors are doing quite well. In terms of emotional issues, there is about 17% of cancer survivors will develop major depression or anxiety, compared to about 10% in the general population. So it is increased, but still the majority of people are doing quite well.
But how many pediatric cancer survivors are there?
Well, the last time that the Institute of Medicine did a guess, they guessed about 250,000 in 1996. Current estimates are that number has grown, and that currently one in 700 adults in this country are a childhood cancer survivor, which is quite a bit, because our survival rates currently are about 80% for all comers, including even about 65% in brain cancer. So the number has improved by 1 or 2% every year, and very dramatically in the 70s and 80s.
So I guess the big difference between pediatric cancer and adult cancer is that really the vast majority of patients will have a very good outcome, right? So cancer in the pediatric population is not viewed as a death sentence.
That is true, but even in adult cancer, as I know that you all have discussed on your show, about 65% of adults will be long-term survivors, so the majority will be, and you guys are improving all the time as well. So I think that is the difference now, but I think it's an issue, a very hopeful message in an area of medicine that I certainly, and I know Dr. Miller would like to see have the adults benefit from as well, because they're going to do well too.
We'd like to remind you to email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu. We're going to take a short break for a medical minute, and please stay tuned to learn more information about pediatric cancer survivorship with Dr. Nina Caden-Lodick.
This is a medical minute brought to you as a public service by the Yale Cancer Center. Breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women. In Connecticut alone, approximately 3,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year. But there is a new hope for these women. Earlier detection, non-invasive treatments, and novel therapies provide more options for patients to fight breast cancer. In 2006, more women are learning to live with this disease than ever before. Women should schedule an annual mammogram mammogram beginning at age 40 or earlier if they have risk factors associated with the disease. With screening, early detection, and a healthy lifestyle, breast cancer can be defeated. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, such as the Yale Cancer Center, to make innovative new treatments, which have not yet been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, available to patients. For more information, visit their website at yalecancercenter.org. That's yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and our guest, Dr. Nina Kaden-Lodick, the director of the HEROES Clinic at the Yale Cancer Center. Well, Nina, I want to start out with a question. How did you get the name HEROES Clinic? It's such a great name.
Well, I must admit, I like the name HEROES first because that's very much how I think of my patients and their family members, and then I made it work. And so it stands for Health Education Research Outcomes in Survivors, which is also very appropriate.
Very good. Excellent.
It is very appropriate. And I guess as we ended the first segment where we talked about how really the large majority of pediatric patients have a very positive outcome, right, and are cured from their cancers, so then the focus really shifts towards quality of life and how they're going, how those pediatric patients are going to live for the rest of their lives, really quite critical.
That is true. In fact, I even have one patient who's a grandmother in my clinic because we really look forward ahead in their lives. And I have a patient who was a Hodgkin survivor, was treated as an adolescent, and has two granddaughters.
That's terrific. And I know when I was in training at the NCI and. You know, obviously Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma were the two types of cancers that we really had very good positive results. And it was a very special event when our patients, female patients, would come saying that, you know, they gave birth to children. And there was a wall, actually, of all of their kids. You know, it really was a very special event. So Nina, maybe just, you know, for our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about the HEROES Clinic. What actually goes on there? Where is it located? How can people access the HEROES Clinic?
So the clinic is at Yale New Haven Hospital. It's on the second floor of the West Pavilion. And we see survivors of individuals who've had cancer at an age younger than 21 years, that was diagnosed at an age younger than 21 years, and who are at least 3 years from diagnosis, because we would like to distinguish the issues of survivorship from those of toxicity or side effects of the treatment they're going through or the decisions of what treatment they should be getting. And you can make an appointment by calling 203-785-4640. When you call for an appointment, you'll also be asked to say where you were treated so that we can send a medical release. We get your medical records and review them, and we calculate all the drug doses you got and the radiation you've gotten so we can put it in a summary form for you, and so that when we see you in clinic, we're ready to give you individualized advice about what you need uniquely for good care, what you should watch out for.
So if a family of a child who's a survivor of cancer comes and sees you, what's a visit like? How much time do they spend with you? And when they leave, what information do they leave with? And then how do you decide about follow-up?
So a typical visit lasts a couple of hours. The doctor's visit part is about an hour. And then you spend some time with our nurse getting educational materials. You do get your blood drawn. You may get some x-rays or other tests that you need. And then you also get a screening history with our psychologist who screens for learning problems, thinking problems, thinking processing problems, and problems with sadness or anxiety. And that's a brief interview, but also is very helpful because those are often silent conditions in survivors, but very important for quality of life.
Tell us a little bit, if you would, about something called the end of treatment summary, and how's that useful for patients?
Well, the current recommendation among oncologists is that every individual completing therapy should receive a treatment summary, but that is an idea that's new and expanding. So in our clinic, in our HEROES Clinic, what we do is we get the medical records and we create that for each patient, and each patient comes away with a written record of all the drugs and other therapies they got and the exact amounts, and they can carry that with them. So a little bit like a medical passport, so that even if they change doctors, mm-hmm. They have that in one place, so anyone who sees them knows all that. And I think it's something that's very important to do in the future for everyone coming off therapy. And we're doing research here at Yale to see if there's a way we can use electronic methods to help patients access that, even if they lose that piece of paper many years later, so that they could maybe log in on a website that's secure, or they could call a hotline so that it's in one bank.
Now, Nina, once a patient's come to you for initial consultation, what's follow-up like after that? How frequently might you see that individual?
So for high-risk patients, or patients whose treatment exposures mean that they're higher risk for having problems later on, we see them yearly, and we work in cooperation with their primary care doctor and primary oncologist. We want them to maintain their medical home and have their close connections with their doctor. So we partner with their doctors to share the information for our recommendations on the tests and evaluation that need to be done to keep them healthy, and then we're available as a resource. Some of our patients see us once because they live far away, and some of them come back yearly. It depends on their medical need, and it depends on what is available locally for them. But our goal is really to get the bulk of that care after the first visit with their primary care doctor, with updates from us if any recommendations change.
Nina, just curious, are there any other clinics that are similar to their Heroes Clinic here in the state of Connecticut, and do they have similar types of clinics, you know, in cancer centers and around the country?
So when I started this clinic 4 years ago, this was the first clinic in the state of Connecticut, and it actually is the only clinic in the state of Connecticut. We're very fortunate now that Heroes Clinic is now partnered with the Connecticut Challenge Clinic in meeting the needs of cancer survivors in Connecticut across the entire age spectrum. And again, we're the only program in Connecticut. There are other programs in the country. We're one of the first to establish one 4 years ago, and we were ahead of the times. Now the NIH, or the general consensus among oncologists in the country, is that every center treating cancer patients should have a program such as this. But I think that's very difficult to have that expertise in every location. So we are really committed to building a center of excellence here, both in clinical care and research, so that we can be a regional resource for primary oncologists, that they can send their patients to on a consult basis, and then they resume their care with the very specialized advice we give them.
And for our listeners out there, I just would like to say, you know, I know the Yale Cancer Center is obviously very, very excited to have you and Ken really partner together and have, you know, pediatric, adult medical, oncology survivors kind of being part of the same experience. And again, a lot of this really would not be possible without the amazing efforts of Jeff Keith and his colleagues for the Connecticut Challenge. And they've really done an amazing job just within the last couple of years at raising very important funds that have gone to help support your efforts.
Absolutely. Jeff Keith is really a man with a vision, also way ahead of his time, and he has created opportunities for Yale to build both clinical and research programs that will help generations of Connecticut survivors.
Well, we're going to take a break in a minute, but I got a personal question for you. I work with adults that are survivors. You know, just personally, what's that experience like for you as a clinician, seeing young children that are moved beyond the cancer experience?
Well, frankly, I think I was attracted to this field because it's very uplifting and hopeful. And while I find great joy in taking care of patients who are just diagnosed, it really is an uplifting experience, and important for me to see these individuals thrive and live productive lives and come back with their children and their husbands and wives and do amazing things.
Sounds wonderful. We'd like to remind you to email your questions to us at healthline@yale.edu, and we're going to take a short break to listen to a survivor story, which is very appropriate for this discussion. And please stay tuned to learn more about pediatric cancer survivorship with Dr. Nina Caden-Lodick.
A few years ago, the diagnosis of cancer was a death sentence for many patients. But today, thanks to advances in clinical research, we're turning the corner in the battle against cancer. There are over 10 million cancer survivors now living in the U.S. They are the true heroes in the war against cancer. Here's the story of a hero from Fairfield.
I visited a walk-in clinic on Christmas Eve in 1999 because I thought I had the flu. The doctor there suspected that it was something more serious, and as he examined my belly, he found a mass. I was referred to Dr. Tom Rutherford, a gynecologic oncologist and researcher at Yale Cancer Center, where I had surgery and received chemotherapy for stage 2 ovarian cancer. Because of early detection, excellent treatment, and the benefit of the latest research, I recently celebrated 6 years as a cancer survivor. Today, I'm a fervent believer that women should pay attention to changes in their bodies and should not be reluctant to tell their physicians any concerns they have, even those they feel might sound trivial. Early detection is the best way to cure cancer.
This survivor's story has been brought to you by Yale Cancer Center.
Well, welcome back to Healthline. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm here with Dr. Ed Chu and our guest, Dr. Nina Caden-Lodick, who's the director of the Heroes Clinic at the Yale Cancer Center. Nina, in the last portion of our program, we really wanted to talk about something you're actively involved in, which is research. And so I wanted to ask you, you just had the honor of being published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is very exciting. Congratulations. Talking about some of the chronic health problems found in childhood cancer survivors. Can you tell us a little bit about your findings?
Yes, that study was an eye-opener for us because we studied 10,000 childhood cancer survivors to see what their rate was of developing serious medical conditions later in life, in adulthood. And we were very surprised to realize that 2/3 of survivors will have at least one serious medical condition, and that the survivors are 4 times as likely as their siblings of developing a serious medical condition. And so this study was the first in such a large population to quantify what the experience is for survivors 10, 25 years after diagnosis as a child. And it really reiterated that programs like our Connecticut Challenge Survivor Clinic and Heroes Clinic need to care for survivors and need to do research that prevents problems and make problems better.
You know, what were some of the medical consequences that that you found to be increased in the pediatric survivor population?
We found varied problems from developing new cancers to in a different location, to heart failure, lung scarring, need for organ transplant later in life, depression, the need need for having an assisted living condition at a younger age, osteoporosis, infertility. Those are some of the examples.
But I guess it probably is important to emphasize to the listeners out there that I suspect a lot of the medical consequences are related to the types of specific treatments that the patients received, and not necessarily they're always going to be experiencing all of those different medical consequences.
No, thank you for pointing that out, Ed. That's absolutely true. So the numbers I just quoted you are for the whole group as a whole, looking at them together. But that's the other reason why you need a specialized center such as ours, because each survivor has very unique needs. And one person may be at risk for heart failure. Another person may be at risk for nothing else except the osteoporosis. I'm trying to think of something mm-hmm. very mild, but something that really means that you just have to lead a healthy life like other people without any increased need for tests. But that in itself is reassuring, because I think every cancer survivor thinks they're at risk for everything until they know, until they have the chance to get an individualized evaluation. And in many ways, our patients who come to our clinic feel reassured afterwards, because then they know exactly what they should be thinking about, what symptoms in themselves they should watch for, and what things they don't have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that comes to mind for me is, I mean, developing a cancer is something that's out of our control. I mean, it's something that just develops that we usually don't know the cause for. And in a sense, the science that you're developing allows patients and families and doctors to sort of bring these things back into our control a little bit, to understand them, to try to work with these problems, and to try to make them as minimal as possible.
Exactly, an empowering experience rather than an illness model. It's you're well and how to stay well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very, very important. And again, very uplifting message, right, to our listeners out there. Nina, what is the Childhood Cancer Survivor Study?
So that is the study that was used in the New England Journal article. This is a cohort of approximately 12,000 childhood cancer survivors who are being followed forward in time every 2 years. It's a study that is particularly helpful because there's an over 70% participation rate. So we feel like this group is pretty representative of the survivorship experience. And now we're following them ahead in time. They've been followed for a little over 10 years, and they'll be continued to be followed into the future.
Wow, that's terrific.
And I am an investigator in that cohort, as are other individuals here at Yale. So,
Nina, tell us a little bit about your research. What are the things that you're looking into that you're getting excited about?
I'm very interested in studying the effects of chemotherapy on the brain and on memory and concentration and executive functioning, or the ability to organize one's thoughts. I am struck by, for both adults and for children, these can be subtle problems that can really, if you're not aware of them, keep individuals from meeting their full potential. You know, we have realized that adult survivors of childhood cancer are more likely to live with their parents as adults. They're 3 times more likely not to complete high school. And they're more likely to be underemployed. And I think understanding how chemotherapy can affect the brain can invite preventive measures, perhaps at the time of therapy, using protectants perhaps for the brain, or later on trying to develop strategies that could help restore function.
It's interesting because certainly in the adult world, these kind of effects have been called chemo brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So clearly it kind of spans the pediatric and adult world.
Well, I studied it extensively in leukemia, and I realized about 3 years ago that there was an emerging literature in women with breast cancer in the same area. I think it's very important because, again, as we see as breast cancer, we're seeing higher survival rates, and in childhood cancer and other areas, we expect these individuals to live a long life, and we want them to be productive and enjoy, be important contributors to society, to their family, and for themselves.
Nina, quick question before we close, but are there any positive side effects of the cancer experience, good side effects?
Do you know there is? I think there's a movie, That Which Will Not Kill You Will Make You Stronger approach. Mm-hmm. It's called post-traumatic growth. But it's this idea that you would never choose something so horrible as a cancer diagnosis or this trauma. But having gone through it, studies have shown over and over again that about 1/3 of patients will actually report a higher quality of life than a non-cancer population. This idea that this enhanced life really shown you what's important. So again, we wouldn't choose it for anyone, but many of our most amazing people in society are those who've overcome things like that, like Jeff Keith.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have questions for Dr. Nina Kaden-Lodick or for Healthline, I encourage you to go to our website, yalecancercenter.org, for more information on cancer and the resources available to you. Nina, I want to thank you for joining us on Healthline.
Yeah, Nina, thanks again. It's been terrific having you, and we look forward to hearing more in the future. And remember, tune into WTIC News Talk 1080 every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Healthline, with the Yale Cancer Center. Our next program will feature discussion of disparities in breast cancer treatment with Drs. Lindsay Harris and Sean Black. Until then, this is Dr. Ed Chu.
And Dr. Ken Miller.
From the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
You've been listening to Healthline, a joint venture of Yale Cancer Center and WTIC News Talk 1080. Join us next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. for another edition of Healthline on WTIC News Talk 1080.